بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن أراد الآخرة وسعى لها سعيها وهو مؤمن فأولئك كان سعيهم مشكورا صدق الله العلي العظيم. Respected علماء الإسلام in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this world such that every single person, we have whatever we are doing in life, we have a maqsad and an object. For example, we have all come for i'tikaf, we've come to the masjid. If you ask a person, why did you come here? He says, I came for i'tikaf. The person goes to a madrasa, he's got an object. Why did you go to madrasa? For ta'alim, to learn. Why do you come to the khanka? For tazkiyah, for purification of oneself. So always when a person is on a journey, he's moving, there's always an object a person has behind him. So every single one of us is on a journey of life. And the ulama say that there are six stages of this journey that a person is going through. And we have got an object. And a person now, an intelligent person is a person who, he fulfills the object. One person was going for Hajj one day. So while he was going for Hajj with the whole kafla, caravan of people, so he was on the journey. So he came to one place. There was lovely fruits, plants. So he told the horse, he sat down with the horse, started eating from there. And all his friends are saying, we're carrying on the journey. He said, no, don't worry, I'm just enjoying this. So lovely fruits here, so lovely plants, trees. So he stayed there. So eventually the kafla continued, the caravan continued, but he remained in that place. What eventually will happen to him? He'll be destroyed. The animal will stay there for a while. How much will it eat? Eventually it will be destroyed. Wild animals will come and kill this person. Because he's not continued on his journey. He had an objective. The eating of the fruit, the feeding of the horse, was a means of reaching the objective. But it wasn't the objective itself. So we also are on a journey. We are on a journey towards Akhirat. And the ulama said that there are six stages of this journey. The first stage of this journey was Alami Arwah, where we came from. Alami Arwah is a place of souls, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took all the souls out from Adam alayhi salam, and we were the size of a zar, like one atom you can say, or ant, very, very small, every human being was. And the time in this Alami Arwah also was very, very short. And at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked all the people, Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Rabb, your creator, your sustainer? And everyone said, oh, definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are. So by saying that, Tawheed came into that small human being, in the soul of that human being. And everyone saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. They saw the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the love of Allah ta'ala was placed in every single soul. That was the first journey. It was we were very, very small in size also. The place was small, and the time also was very, very quick. Then we went to the next stage, which is in the womb of the mother. This is the second part of the journey. The womb of the mother, we stayed there for a period of approximately 9 months. There also, the place was much bigger than where we were before. But comparatively to this world, it was very, very small. And the time also we stayed there was for a very short time, 9 months. Then we continue the journey. We come into this world. This is the third stage of the journey. And this is a very, very important part of this journey. Because this is the part of the journey where we have to get our saman, our goods. We have to prepare, continuing for the rest of the journey. So anyhow, this part of the journey also, a person is a bit bigger in size compared to the baby. And the time he lives in this world generally is longer, maybe 50 years, 60 years, 70 years a person lives. And then eventually he leaves this world. So this is the third part of the journey. In going to the fourth part of the journey, is the life of the qabr. The life of the qabr is much bigger compared to this world. It's much, much bigger, much, much vaster the life of the qabr is. And the time of the qabr also is much longer. Maybe 5,000 years, 8,000 years. Allah knows best exactly how long a person will live in the qabr, in the grave. Then there is the next part of the journey, which is the day of qiyamah. 50,000 years long. And the plains of qiyamah, we can't imagine how big it is. The whole of mankind will be there. Massive place it will be also. Much bigger than the grave also, much bigger than this world. And a very, very long time, for 50,000 years. So much so, some ulama, they worked out, you see, if a person lives in this world for 100 years you live in this world, and compared to the day of Qiyamah, that one day, and they worked it out, it came to about 2.5 minutes to 3 minutes, the comparison of this world to the day of Qiyamah. Not even Jannah. Jannah is forever and forever, it's infinite. And you can't have an infinite number joined, and you work it out with a finite number, 100, to the life of Jannah, forever, which is forever and forever. Actually, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has given a beautiful example to explain that how short this life of this world is and how long the life of the Jannah and Akhirat is, forever and forever. He says, if you take this whole earth and you put bird seeds in it,
And every 1,000 years, one bird comes and takes one seed away. Every 1,000 years, a bird takes just one seed away. And next 1,000 years, it comes and takes another seed away. So he asked the question, that will the seeds ever come to an end? Will the seeds ever come to an end? See, the seeds definitely will come to an end. Something which is finite. Even though it will take thousands and thousands and millions of years, but eventually it will come to an end. But he says, life of Jannat or life of Jahannam will never ever come to an end. So we can imagine from there how big, and I mean how long the life of Akhirat will be. So anyhow, the fourth part of the journey is the day of Qiyamah, which is 50,000 years long, and also which is a very, very massive place. And most probably the size of human beings also will be much bigger. Will be much bigger. And when we go to Jannat, it will be the size of Adam alayhi salam, 60 lengths. Not like the baby is so small, and the human being is so big. In the qabr, it will be mainly our soul, our ruh. But in Akhirat, our bodies also will become bigger. And then the life of Jannat thereafter, where it is forever and forever, it will never ever come to an end. And what is the size of Jannat? Jannat, Allahu Akbar, a person can never ever understand. One alim, he gave one beautiful example to show the size of Jannat, how big Jannat is compared to this world. This world is very, very small compared to what Jannat is. So the example it comes in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person is moving on a fast fast moving horse, there's one tree in Jannah. And if you go under the shade of the tree, it'll take you 100 years to cross the shade, and you won't reach the end of the shade. Another hadith says 500 years. So now, a fast moving horse, how fast does a horse move? What's the speed of a horse? Anybody knows? What's the fastest moving animal? Cheetah. A cheetah, how fast does it move? About 97-98 kilometers top speed, it's for a short distance. A fast moving horse is about 60 kilometers per hour. But because our math is not so good, so I'll make it easier. We'll make it 50 kilometers per hour. A horse is moving. Now if a horse is moving at 50 kilometers per hour, in one day, how many kilometers will it do? MashaAllah, Morana is a businessman here. Normally, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah says, whatever we don't use of our body, it becomes weak. So in the past, people used to use their minds a lot. Their business. Today, 2 plus 2, they take out the calculator, so 2 plus 2, they work it out. So their minds have become weak. 1,200, JazakAllah. 1,200 kilometers in one day a horse will do. And in 1 month, 36,000 kilometers a horse will do in 1 month. Now let's, what is 36,000 kilometers? The whole earth circumference is 24,000 kilometers. So that means a horse can do 1.5 earth in a month. If a horse is running day in, day out, 1.5 earth it will do in 1 month. And in 12 months, to make it easy for you, we'll let's say 12 times 1.5. I mean 18 times 18. It comes to 18. 1.5 earth, and times 12, 18 earth it will do in 1 year. 1 year. 1 year. And in 100 years, 1,800 earth. So the size of one tree, the shade of one tree in Jannah, is 1,800 earth. So imagine a person just says, SubhanAllah, you got one tree in Jannah. What is the size of Jannah? And then we say, I can't understand, it doesn't make sense, how can Jannah be so big? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a beautiful example. He says that the example of this world going to, a person living this world going to Akhirat, is like the example of the small baby in the womb of the mother. The baby in the womb of the mother is very comfortable. He thinks, I'm living in a very, very big place. You ask him, come out here, I've got a house which is 50 times bigger than where you're staying. He says, 50 times, I won't be able to see that place also. How am I going to walk in that place? 50 times bigger than here. You see, 100 times, 1,000 times bigger. But the minute he leaves the womb of the mother and he comes in this world, then you tell him, you know what? You want to go back? You want to go back in that place? You see the dark, narrow, small place? I'll never manage this. I've got such a small house. It's only 50 times bigger, only 100 times bigger, only 1,000 times bigger than the womb. Because now he realizes he has come in this world. So when a person goes to Akhirat also, you can imagine how big and massive Akhirat is, how big Jannat is. And there's nothing far-fetched for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah ta'ala has created this whole world, and this world has got like no real value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one earth in this world which Allah has made, 1,200 earth can fit into Jupiter, which is one planet only. And 13,000 earth will fit into the sun. And the sun is so small, that there is another bigger star, the Canis Majoris or something is called. I think it's 35 and 17 zeros after that. That's how many suns can fit into that. So that's this world which Allah Ta'ala has created. So we can imagine this is very, very small. Allah Ta'ala said, I got no value for this. If the dunya was equal to the wing of a mosquito, Allah would not have given the kuffar one drop of water to drink. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was walking with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and while they were walking, they came across one kid, a goat, a baby goat, was lying down. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was his habit also, that to take lessons from every single thing. Hazrat Mawlana Shaki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he was like against this idea only of sitting and learning in a madrasa. He just learned in the kitab only. Hazrat used to feel that very, very important is to travel with one sheikh, travel with the mashayikh, with the ulama. Because when a person is traveling, he learns many, many lessons of life, which normally you won't learn in the classroom. The classroom, you're just learning the kitab, but you can't see life. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many times you find yourself going with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he told them certain things, and he took lessons from everything. So this is also something we should open our eyes. In everything in life we see, we should take lessons. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past a goat, it was dead, the ear was either cut off, or it was very, very small, it was a defective also, and it was dead. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who will buy this kid for one dirham? So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if you give it free of charge, we're not prepared to take this thing. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this whole dunya in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more zaleel, is more lower, is more despicable than how this kid is in front in your people's eyes. That means this world has got no value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the object of it? So this world we are going to live now. We have to live in this world for a short while. But it has got no real value. If a person must think now, my object of life is akhirat, which will be forever and forever. And the enjoyment of akhirat and the benefits of akhirat and the things in akhirat is far, far greater and superior to anything of this world. So that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us in this world for an object. It's not the maqsad to stay here, to remain here. If the object was staying here, we wouldn't have left this world. The object is something else, going towards akhirat. So we have come in this world for a purpose. So what is the purpose actually of coming in this world? So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines that you are going on a journey. And on this journey, you are coming to the dunya as one station in your life which you are going if to pass through. So the object of coming in this world is وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have created jinnat and insan so they can become the bandas and servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have come in this world to become a servant, a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show our servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to prepare for the life of akhirat. Now you get human beings by nature, they are servants, we are slaves. Every one of us is a slave. But now we have to decide whose slave we want to be. أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ. In akhirat Allah will say that didn't I tell you people you shouldn't worship shaitan, you shouldn't become a worshipper of shaitan. So you will get some people who will become the worshippers of shaitan. You will get certain people who are the worshippers of money. Ta'isa abdul dinar, ta'isa abdul dirham, a slave of money. All his object of life, his purpose of life, all the time he's thinking about money. He's performing salah also, he's thinking about money. As the famous story we heard from a wellness, one person one day, there was a confusion in the masjid. How many rakats was it? 3 rakats or 4 rakats? So everybody was in doubt. So one person, he never looked very, very jindar, very pious. He said, no, definitely 3 rakats was read. They say, hey, you've got so much of concentration in salah. He said, no, actually, I got four shops. Every rakat, they normally make hisab of all my shop for that day, the takings of that day. So today I only worked out 3 shops. So no, definitely only 3 rakats was read. So this is Abdul Dinar. All the time his object of life is money. There was one lady who was about to pass away. So she was very old. So she actually inherited a lot of money. And about £500,000 or £1 million or something like that. So they were frightened to tell her that in her old age, in a sickness, she mustn't get a heart attack and die. So they said, you know what, the best way is we'll tell the doctor. The doctor will go and he'll explain to her and put it nicely to her so that she can understand in a nice way. He knows how to exactly explain to her. So they were sent the doctor. The doctor went there and he was sitting with her, talking to her, the family doctor. And he said, auntie, that you know, if you have to get £1 million, what you'll do with it? She said, doctor, you're such a good person, I'll give half of it to you. Doctor got a shock, he had a heart attack and he died. So this is dunya, the love of dunya. A person, he's the abdu dinar, abdu dirham. He's a slave of dinar and dirham. So a person must have become a slave of dirham and dinar. Another person is abdul khamisa. He's a slave of clothing. Some people eat to live, and other people live to eat. As they say, I am food. My whole maqsad and object of life is food. All the time a person is fikr and concern is food. So these people, they have lost the object of life. The actual object is to become Abdul Rahman, Abdullah, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the servant of Rahman. And this inshallah, the next few days we will discuss who are Abdul Rahman, who are Ibadul Rahman, what are the qualities which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to develop in this world. That we have come in this world for a short while, but not just to pass our time, But we have come with an object, we have come with a maqsad, to become the servant and the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are all these other things. Some people unfortunately are Abdul Nisa. They become the slaves of women. But all of these things, the biggest dhoka and deception is that a person has to leave them. And he has to leave this world. And only if a person who becomes a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned the other day in the Jummah Bayan, أَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئِتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِكُ. Jibreel alayhi salam told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whoever you want to, you can love in this world. But remember, you have to separate from this person. You'll have to separate. Whether it's your money, whether it's the possessions of this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has said in this world, وَمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, that the things of this world is nothing but a box of deception. Everything in this world is deception. We've heard this story many times from our elders, that once Isa alayhi salatu was traveling with a Hawari, with his disciple, with one person, and this person unfortunately was a lover of dunya, he had a lot of love of this world. So anyhow, when Isa alayhi salatu was going with him, they had three rotis, as provisions. So Isa alayhi salam ate one, that person ate one, and Isa alayhi salatu rested for a while, and when he woke up, he found a third roti, it was missing. So he asked this person that, what happened to the roti? So the person saying, I don't know what happened to the roti. He said, there's only three of us here, two of us are here, me and you, only two of us. And there were three rotis, and the one roti was here. You can be the only person who took it. He took a custom and an oath. He said, no, I never took it. So Isa alayhi salam said, okay, let's carry on. And actually the incident is a bit longer also, that there was a deer, a buck, which came there. Isa alayhi salam milked. The buck normally didn't give milk, he milked it. And he said, by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave us his power, that Allah ta'ala gave us kudrat, he gave us his milk. Tell me now, who took that roti? This person again, he refused to say. So Isa alayhi salam showed him another few miracles, and this person again refused to say he's the person who stole the roti. Anyhow, they came across one place, and there were three bars of gold there. So Isa alayhi salam said, okay, I'll take one bar of gold, you take one bar of gold, and the third bar of gold is for the person who had the third roti. So now the man jumped up. Hey, you know what, I was the one who ate the roti. So then Isa alayhi salam said, what connection have I got with the dunya? You know what, you take this, your bar of gold, my bar of gold, and the third one also, you take it. I don't want to do anything with you, but you have to stay away from me now. I don't want to stay in your sohbat, in your companionship. You are a lover of the dunya. And this is, we learned from our elders, that many times a person, for the small petty gains of this world, he loses the greater object, great bounties, spiritual bounties a person loses. He is deprived of it, just because of small things of this world. So anyhow, this person, Isa alayhi salam went away, this person now is sitting with the gold. While he's sitting there, two crooks came. And the crook is called crook, because he's crooked, his mind is crooked also, he thinks crooked, everything of his is crooked. So these people came now, and they saw the three bars of gold, they said, hey, we also want a share. Now this man got frightened, so he said, you know what, don't worry, there's enough for all of us, I'll take one, you two take also one. So they said, okay, no problem. But he said, now we have to celebrate. We got three bars of gold. Let us say, have a big celebration. So they told that person, you go and buy some food for us. He was very, very angry. Why must he share the gold? So he said, okay, you know what, I'll show them a point. So he went to buy the food. He bought a lot of food. He ate food nicely himself. He bought food and he put poison inside the food. And then these two people also are sitting beside, as you said, crooked-minded. They said, you know what, why must we give him the gold? We want all the gold. So when he comes back, we'll kill him. So as they came back, they ambushed him. They killed him. He was dead now. They sat down, they ate the food, poisoned, they also passed away. So now all three of them are dead, and the three bars of gold are there. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam walks past. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam says that this is the reality of dunya. What the people are crying for, they are dying for, they are killing one another for, this is the reality of dunya. So a person who has become an abd of dirhams, of dinars, of wealth, of all of these things, this person has destroyed his life. He hasn't fulfilled the other object of his life. So as we have mentioned here, that we have got an objective of life. Yeah, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, he gives a beautiful example. He says that there are four groups of travelers. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, once, remember this hadith, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up, and there was all marks on his body, because he was sleeping on a mat, on the ground, and there was marks on his body. So we told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, why don't we make some nice bed for you, comfortable place. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا لِي وَلِي الدُّنْيَا, what is my connection with the dunya? He said, مَا أَنَا وَالدُّنْيَا إِلَّا كَرَاكِبٍ إِسْتَذَلَّ تَحْتَ شَجْرَةٍ ثُمَّ رَحَى فَتَرَكَهَا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my example of this world is like a rider, a person on a journey. And he comes under one tree and he rests there for a short while. Then eventually after resting there for a short while, he has his rest, and then eventually he leaves it. This is my example. I'm just a mere traveler in this world. So every one of us a traveler. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says that there are four types of travelers in this world. The first traveler is a person, they were going on a ship and they came to an island. And the island was very, very beautiful. But that wasn't their objective. They just stopped there for a short while to get the necessities and to come back on the ship. So one group was very, very intelligent. They jumped off the ship. They went. They got the necessities. They didn't get affected by all the beauties of the world, of that island. And they came back in the ship. They sat and they got the best places, first class. They sat in the first class compartment. They were very, very light and comfortable, and they had all the goods what they would need for the rest of their journey. The second group of people came, and they were also they started sitting and eating the fruits and all the beautiful things. They forgot. After some time they remembered, hey, you know what, we forgot, we have to go back to the ship. So whatever little bit they could gather, they couldn't take as much as the first group. They took it back. Now when they came back, it wasn't a very nice place. Second class compartment, which wasn't very, very comfortable, but anyhow they squeezed themselves up there. They said they're not very comfortable, but not like what the first group was sitting like. And then the third group of people came. They were enjoying themselves completely. They forgot completely about the ship. Suddenly they heard the sound that, hey, the ship is going now. So they quickly ran back. They had got some of the jewels and the beautiful things of that island. They had it on their backs. They were carrying it. It was very, very heavy. It was breaking their backs. And anyhow, they came back. They didn't want to throw the jewels away also. And they wanted to go on the ship with it. But there was no place. They were sitting at the feet of people. And their backs were aching. And they were going through great difficulty. And the fourth group of people, they were so enamored with this island that eventually the wild animals came and completely devoured them and finished them up. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says that we are all musafiris. We are travelers towards the akhirat. Every one of us think, which group are we in? Are we in the first group? We have understood that this world is just the place to acquire the basics of this world and to prepare for the life of the akhirat. Or we are amongst the fourth group, or we are the in-between groups. But remember, the other group, there is some difficulty for them. And the first group is the one which is completely saved. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us one of the objects of coming here to the Khanqah also for the month of Ramadan is to make an object of our life. What is my intention of life? Am I amongst those people, man kana yuridu al-ajila, who object of life is dunya, or man arad al-akhirah, a person whose object of life is akhirah. We have to fix our destination. And every day a person in his life must sit and he must make an intention every morning. That, oh Allah, my intention is akhirah. My intention is to please you. If a person does this, in the beginning it will be just words. But as a person continues making this intention, inshallah eventually the reality will come. That my intention of life is akhirah. I will live in this world, I'll do everything. But my intention and object of life is the akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us. So inshallah tomorrow we will discuss that now we are living in this world. Now what qualities a person has to get, what are the saman and the good a person has to acquire in this world for a person to proceed to the qabr, to the grave, to the day of qiyamah, and for the life thereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.